And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. Today we're going to talk about some of my favorite Bible stories that we see. I've got three of them picked out. They've been kind of laying heavy on my heart, and I just thought, well, I'd share these and get those out there so you could kind of listen and see what my take on some of these are, and also some different perspective, I guess. So the first one is Matthew chapter 21, 12 through 17. And this is when Jesus is going through the temple and cleansing the temple of all of the quote unquote robbers. And it reads as this: "And Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were selling and buying on temple grounds. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.' And those who were blind and those who limped came to him in the temple area, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple area, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,'" basically what's happening here is Christ goes in there and he sees a lot of people. A lot of times they would have to be selling stuff for like incense, doves for sacrifice and stuff like that. And so what these people were doing was basically there to sell to people that may not have been prepared. So it could have been one of these things where they just forgot to grab something, or in some cases they just didn't have the room or didn't have the space for it, and so they just went there. Or in some cases, they were rich enough that they didn't bother buying it ahead of time. They're just going to buy it there. But what's interesting with this is that it's, you know, Jesus himself said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." So, you know, selling in the church is so very, very, can be a hot topic. And so right here, you know, he's obviously saying selling goods in exchange for any type of salvation. So in order for some of the stuff to work, you would have needed these incense and stuff like that. So basically these people were saying, if you didn't have the money to buy the doves or you didn't bring your own, then you may not have been able to be released or freed from your sin or forgiven. And so what this comes down to is a lot like the people that sell books and recordings on, you know, how to get the best out of your life and how to do all this and the prosperity type of pastors. Now, that's not saying that you can't support small groups. So, like, if your children's ministries are selling shirts to raise money for a camp and stuff like that, then I don't see that as any type of exchange for your soul. That's more like trying to help the kids to get into the camp or something like that. So there's a difference. Some people go way overboard and say, well, you can't do anything at all selling-wise in the church. And then some, like on my part, believe that if it's for donations, or if you're doing it as a fundraiser so that people can go to camp, especially underprivileged, I don't see the harm in that. I think that's helping, but you know, that's where it's at. You know, small towns, there's a lot of different views. There's a lot of churches that just don't sell anything. There's some of them that, you know, you go on Sunday, you go on Wednesday, and you can't. The only thing they'll do is do a fundraiser as far as donation only, and they won't make up shirts or stuff like that to try to help out. It's basically, if you donate, it's fine, but if it's not, then obviously it's not correct. And you know, there's no harm in that. That's very egalitarian of it, but you know, it is what it is. The next one is Mark chapter 14, and it's 32 through 42. This is Jesus in Gethsemane. They came to the place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and he began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began praying, that if it were possible, the hour might pass him. So this is where Christ is talking to his Father, saying, you know, if it be, please pass this. I don't want to die. I mean, who would really want to? But he knew that was his job. And, you know, he was willing to do it. He was just asking, is it still necessary? And of course it was. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour?" So once again, Christ was talking to his Father and said, you know, it's not my will, but your will. But if your will is for this to pass over, you know, that would be great. But if not, I totally understand. And then he comes back and finds his disciples sleeping. What I think is relevant this day is that, are we sleeping? I mean, are we waiting on Christ to come back? But are we so dormant in our faith that we're falling asleep? Are we so slow in our discipleship that we haven't even begun? We're so sluggish with it. Are we actually going out there and spreading the name of Christ to others that may or may not have heard about him? And I think today's, in some cases, that is the case. I think some of us are just, we have a life, and so we do our work. And when it comes to Sunday and sometimes Wednesday, we go to church. And I think that's relevant in any town you're in, small or large. I think we get wrapped up with making sure that our ends are met, which we should, but are we falling asleep in our faith? And I think in some cases we do. I think some of us, even myself, take naps sometimes. I think there's times where we're a little sluggish on the draw, and we see something, we're like, man, let this cup kind of pass over, you know, kind of like what Christ was doing. But in the long run, eventually we know that it was brought to us for a reason and that we just need to act on it. So let's see here. Yeah. Said to them, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you will not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again, he came and found them sleeping, with their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say in reply to him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? That is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Behold, the one who is betraying me is near." And that's, of course, Judas. But what is really interesting, once again, is that he left, came back. Three. That's kind of a pattern, by the way, in the Bible. If you haven't noticed that, you know, you will disown me three times, all of that. But here, he came back, once again, found them sleeping. And I think that's, once again, a prudent point here. Are we sleeping in our faith? And he even asked, you couldn't even stay awake and pray to help me, to protect us, and that the body is weak and the spirit is willing. So I just love that story. It's always kind of, to me, it's always showed me that, you know, we can't be asleep in our faith. It's much like what Paul said with being lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, then it's even worse. Let's go ahead, take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I want to thank you for listening to that one ad right there. It helps keep the ministry going and paying the bills and everything like that. So today we're talking about three of my favorite stories in the Bible. These are the ones I just, when you hear them, you just get that warm, fuzzy feeling like you're learning something. And you could just grow in your faith when you really break it down and read it. So the next one, probably one of the more famous stories in the Bible. A lot of people, even who aren't Christian, know of this story. I mean, it's a great story. And it's in Luke chapter 10, and that's verse 30 through 37. And that, my friend, is the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by coincidence, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed compassion to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." I wish I could break that down so much more, but Christ did such a great job with that. There's some backstories with it, obviously. The Samaritans at that time were considered low level. These were people that were to be mocked at, laughed at, not to be messed with. No one wanted to talk to them. No one wanted to do anything for them. They were basically shunned. And you've got the priest, who would have been, you know, your diplomats. These guys were, you know, the high end residents. They had prestige. They had money. But they were also supposed to be godly. Priests were supposed to know what was to be done. They would have been well aware that this person should have needed help. They would have known that in the Bible you were supposed to be a good neighbor, to help one another, love one another. This was what the priest did in the story was not love. They just left him to the side. The Levite basically was a step below that. They were in good favor. They were higher in the hierarchy, not as high as the priest, but definitely more than what a slave would be or just a common person. These people would have had some biblical background. Once again, would have known that they should have stopped and helped this person, but obviously they didn't. And then the Samaritan, the one that the people should not have even thought would have stopped, did. Now, where do we see this happen in real life? Well, in a small town, not always you see some of that. You will see that people that are down in their luck will help others, especially if they get a little bit more, they share it. I know of some homeless that do that as well. If one person gets a ton of money, you know, from handouts, they split it up. Or if somebody's got some sandwiches or something like that from a donation, they'll actually split it up and stuff like that. They help each other out. But I think in small town, sometimes you see this dramatically, where you'll see people that are up there in your town and they don't realize that there's people hurting down below, or that there is a poor, or there is somebody that might need food or help. I think sometimes they get so driven by what's going on, political or just even economical in the city, that they kind of miss out that there is this underlying that needs help. And I think it's a poignant point for us as Christians as well, is that when we see someone down and out, Are we willing to give them that $5, you know, or are we willing to give them that food or maybe a free, you know, token for whatever? I know a lot of times instead of just doing cash, you know, they'll give like free food coins or stuff like that. That way, you know, if you are concerned about them just spending it on alcohol or something like that, you don't have to really worry about that. Like Walmart gift cards, you can't necessarily buy alcohol with stuff like that. So a lot of times we'll do like a gift card or something like that. And then that way they can still buy food. They could buy clothes. They could buy shoes. They just can't always buy the alcohol or tobacco or something like that, which, you know, still, once again, is up to them. You know, I know of a couple people that talk to me about going to Washington, D.C., and they'll be like, you know, they give a guy, you know, $5, and someone's like, why'd you even do that? You know, they're just going to spend it right around on alcohol. You know, you can see him going right into it now. And what's interesting, and the viewpoint I believe we need to have, is that's between him and God. I did what I needed to. I felt a calling to give him some money. Whether or not he uses that money like he should is so different. And that's what I think this story brings. It shows that we need to be willing to listen to what God's saying to us and help that person out. You know, we may not want to, but in the end, we may be that answered prayer that that person's praying for. So those are the three stories that I really enjoy. I've got more, by the way, and I'm probably, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to put this out right now, and I'll kind of make maybe a Facebook post or an Instagram post about it or something. But so it's getting summertime, and I really do enjoy making podcasts, and I'm not stopping. But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to record this week. Next week, I'm going to do a quick intro and play one of my favorite past episodes, and then I'll record a new one and do that at least for the summertime. My son is doing well. He just got finished with soccer, but we have a lot of other things going on with him, and I have the 10-week ministry at church that I'm learning to be the leader in. So I've got a lot of things on my plate at work and church and my family. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to stop, you know, podcast. I love podcasting. So I think what I'm going to do is next week we'll play one of my favorite episodes. I'll do a quick intro. And then the week after, I'll have something brand new for you. I think what I'll do is I'm going to do another section of my favorite stories from the Bible. I'll get about three or four. And we'll just enjoy listening to stories from the Bible, because that's how I learn. My son learns that way, too. He learns when we tell him a story. And that's why Christ did it, was because we understand from storytelling rather than, hey, don't do that. Well, why? Well, because I said so. Well, if you have it in a story, you see why. Because the consequences and because the actions of people. So learning through storytelling is awesome, and I enjoy that part of the Bible, when you can read a good story and get full with the Holy Spirit when you do it. So that's the game plan, and I look forward to still podcasting. So we'll just do a little tweak here in the summertime, and then we'll get right back to daily or to weekly new podcasts. So until then, have a great week, and I will have another podcast for you next week. All right. Talk to you later.